Imagine a young girl's journey from a small farming village in Ethiopia to working as a chef in a five-star Manhattan hotel. If that image presents a few more challenges than you're comfortable with, stay tuned. We have someone who will tell you all about it. Hi, and welcome to A Taste of the Past. I'm your host, Linda Palacio, here on Heritage Radio Network. And I didn't mean to throw you with trying to conjure up an image like that, but indeed, it is quite a journey that one young woman took. And with me here today is Kubi Kasai, who has made that journey. And joining her is Marcia Palanchi, who is representing Les Dames d'Escoffier, who tell us about an award that Kubi has been given as well. And Kubi, I want to start with you. How did you do this? Tell me about your life. How in the world did you end up at the Peninsula Hotel from a small farming village in Ethiopia?
I want to say thank you to God for, you know, for making me this famous. He had given me a chance. I'm originally from Ethiopia. It's a small village in Dukam. It's approximately 30 minutes into the village. My father is a farmer. I have eight sisters and two brothers.
Wow.
And when I was 9 years old, I was adopted by my uncle, who lived in Addis Ababa, which is the capital. And I moved to Addis Ababa when I was nine. And back in the village, you know, there's no education. Basically, you just stay home and learn from your mother everything to survive.
At what age were you, did you go to Addis Ababa?
I was nine.
Nine. So you had not been to school prior
to
that?
No, I haven't been to school. So I moved to Addis Ababa when I was nine. And, you know, my new parents, my uncle, Ala Musida, and my new mother, Alma Zurgesa, they put me to school. And I had to learn basically a new language because in the village we spoke a different language. And in Addis Ababa we had to learn Amharic, which is the native language which everybody spoke. And I didn't speak the language, so I had to learn. So I had to go to pre-K. Basically, I started everything from fresh, you know. So it was pretty challenging.
Indeed.
Yeah, because I had to learn the language and get familiarized with everything. And back in the village, there's no light, there's no bathroom. You know, everything was so new, so I had to learn everything
and
new.
So there you are living in a big city all
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah, basically, yeah, from a village to a city. It was just amazing. And when I was 13, the family decided to move to New York, Queens.
Wow.
Yes. So moved to America, and now I'm 13 years old. I believe in America, if you're 13, you're supposed to be in seventh grade. So when I came here, I had no English. I didn't know anything. The only word I know is yes or no. That's it. And seventh grade, I go in Queens, IS-237, Queens. And I don't know. It was just something new. I mean, I don't know anything, basically. I had to learn everything again.
And you're 13 years
yes,
old.
Yes, I was 13.
That's a tough age to begin with,
yes,
right?
I was 13. So, I mean, I was treated as a normal child, you know, 13 years old, seventh grade. And when I was in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, I was going to third grade. So when I came here, they put me seventh grade. So I had to learn everything new again. And it was so challenging because, you know, I don't know English and I barely know the native language because I've been only in Addis Ababa for 3 years.
Well, you obviously put your brain to good work because from what I've read about you, you accomplished quite a bit and graduated with honors.
Yes, I did indeed.
And that's marvelous.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you.
And then you decided to choose the path of cooking.
Yes.
And go to culinary school.
Yes.
Or when did you first know that you had an interest in cooking?
Ever since I was young, I believe 8, 9, I would always stay with my mother in the kitchen and cook, and she'll tell me, go play with the kids. I'm like, no, Mom, I just want to stay here and learn how to cook.
So she really taught you all the basic
yes,
dishes of Ethiopia when you were cooking.
Yes.
So there you are in New York and decide to go to culinary school. Well, not only did you go to culinary school, but, and all for all you listeners, she graduated summa cum laude, okay? A young girl who didn't speak a word of English at 13. That is really amazing. You were at New York City College of Technology?
Yeah? Yes.
You just took to it like a fish to water, right?
Yes. I don't know, maybe because I skipped 4 grades, you know, ahead of time, and I was always interested to learn something new. Like, school was something, I don't know, it was easy because I wanted to learn something and get out of something out of it, you know? So, City Tech, well, before that, let's go back. And after I finished high school, me and my mom, we went to school opening, you know, like for college. Mm-hmm. They want the kids to have a good education, you know? So we went to one school, I don't remember which one it was, and I told them I wanted to be a chef. So they said, if you want to be a chef, be whoever you want to be, as long as it makes you happy. So I told them I wanted to be a chef. So we go to the school, and they told her I'm receiving a certificate, not a degree. And my mom said, nope, you have to get a 4-year degree. So I said, okay, New York City College of Technology offers a 4-year degree in hospitality management. And they said, go ahead. So that's how my journey started in New York City College of
Technology. As long as it was a degree and not a certificate,
yes.
Right? That was very important. Well, what did you cook at other places before you landed at the... Landed, that's quite an exalted landing, the Peninsula Hotel. Did you cook at other locations, or was that your first job?
Peninsula was my first job, but I cooked at home, mm-hmm, for the family, mm-hmm, in New York.
Interesting. Well, through all that... you were noticed by a lot of your professors, and you were nominated for a particular award. And Marcia, this is where you come in. Les Dames d'Escoffier, I wanted to talk a lot about the importance of scholarship and mentoring and of professionals giving back to young people in their field, and particularly the culinary world does a lot of this, giving back to young people in the culinary world, and Les Dames d'Escoffier has a particular program. Marcia, I would like you to describe that to us.
It's my pleasure. Well, I think we have to go back a little bit and say what Les Dames d'Escoffier is. And this is an organization of, I think we're like 1,500 women, all leaders in the hospitality world. That includes wine and food and normal hospitality. We have chapters, 28 chapters throughout the United States, Canada, and now the UK. And all of us are considered leaders in our profession. And one of the visions of the organization, which is around 40 years old, from the very beginning was scholarship. And about 4 years ago, we have been doing our own scholarships for a long time, and doing scholarships for high school students and college students who are tracking in the culinary world. And I believe we've given out maybe $4 million worth of scholarships
easily,
so far.
Yeah.
And what we decided to do is to kick it up a notch and to take young women who have already accomplished a certain level in their career, who have had at least 4 years working in the field, and offer them an opportunity to mentor with our members. And as I said before, scholarship has always been important to us. And, you know, when you reach a certain level in your profession, it really is time to give back.
Right.
And this organization of women has been extraordinarily generous with sharing their know-how and their talent with the up-and-coming talent, female talent, in this country. Kubi won the award last year. She was one of six women who were identified, and I'm sure she'll tell you about her experience. But we're continuing the program this year. We are giving out 6 scholarships, and thanks a great deal to the support of the Julia Child Foundation, we have kind of doubled our capacity to help talented young women. And if anyone is interested in applying, because we are at that process now of offering the scholarships and the applications, all they need to do is to go onto the website, the LDEI.org website, and push under awards and find out all the information about what you need to apply. And this, I know this is going to be going on forever and ever, this show, and I certainly hope that the Legacy Award continues in kind, and that we'll be able to continue this program for talented young women for years to come.
Oh, it's a marvelous program, and full disclosure, I have to say that I too am a member of Les Dames de Scoffier, and we are and have chaired the mentoring committee on the regular mentoring committee in New York. This is a very special opportunity with, that it's more than just a mentoring. It's kind of an intensive training program, right? Kubi, do you want to tell us what this award meant for you, but also what you did as part of the award, what your opportunity was?
Well, when I applied for this award, Professor Gallet from City Tech, she had invited me to come and have lunch with them at the school. So I went and had lunch, and she said, "Oh, why don't you apply for the scholarship for women?" I say, "Scholarship? I'll apply for it." So she was supposed to email me, and she emailed it to me, and I looked at the criteria, what's required, and it was simple. So I applied, and then I get a phone call from Miss Marsha, straight to the chef's office, and then the chef comes and gets me. "Kubi, you have a phone call." "Phone call?" I was like, "From who? Who would call the chef's office for me?" So I go, "Hi, this is Marsha from Les Dames." I said, "Yes, it's her." She said, "You have won." I said, "I have won?" Oh, I was so excited. I couldn't believe I won. I was crying, and I started calling Professor Gallet, Professor Dias, my husband. I was just calling everybody saying I received a scholarship, and I was just so amazed that I have actually won the scholarship. And the scholarship actually opened my eyes, you know, to see the culinary field in a bigger perspective. And I was able to go to Vancouver and work with Chef Margaret Chisholm, who took me as her own sister. And I've worked with her catering company, Culinary Capers Catering, mm-hmm. for 1 week. And that was just amazing. And
so it's really one-on-one training. I mean, you're working alongside a chef owner of a business, right? And you're learning everything.
She works
from
the
ground up. She works for the company, right?
Yeah. Well, she's been there for a long time, so you could say she's the owner. Right. Yeah. So it was amazing. I had a great time, and then we also had a chance to do a Julia Child in Paris, a gala, 10-course dinner, and it was just amazing because I've never done before, and it was just it was just wonderful.
No, that's terrific, and it's just so. It's great to hear that somebody really took great advantage of the award that's given.
Yes.
And Marcia, and I hope, as you say, I hope that this can continue on. There are so many wonderful programs. Well, particularly, I know in New York City, but I'm around the world. But the Julia Child Foundation is very generous with their scholarships. As CCAP programs are, they just had a gala the other night. They give wonderful awards, and the James Beard Foundation. One has to do a little searching, but as Marcia said, you know, you can go on to the LDEI, that's Les Dames de Scoffier International, their website, ldei.org, and I would imagine with most other organizations, if you, you know, put out a search, you will find some wonderful programs. It's so important that we get students to take advantage of these programs that are out there. But as you said, it was your professor who first alerted you to it.
Yes,
and told you to apply.
Professor Gallet. Yeah. She said apply, and I went right away and I applied for it, and I got the scholarship. Yes.
All right, so tell me, before we go to a break, you have a dream. What is your dream?
Oh, my dream would be to open my own restaurant, Ethiopian Italian restaurant, one day.
Ethiopian Italian. Well, that yes. You got that sounds like a wonderful combination
to me. I know. I mean, everybody has Ethiopian restaurant, but I want something different.
Uh-huh.
Could stand out. So I like Italian food and Ethiopian food, and it complements each other. And one day I'll open my own restaurant, and in the long run, I want to give back to my community back home in the village, open an orphanage for those who are not, you know, able to go to school, and, you know, I want to give it back to my community.
That's
what
fabulous.
I basically want
that's
to fabulous. Do. Yeah.
Well, when we come back from our short break, I want to ask you about Ethiopian cuisine. So okay. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Third Degree by TechStar on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Post Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hi, we're back on A Taste of the Past, and I'm speaking with Kubi Kasai, a chef at the Peninsula Hotel in Manhattan, and Marcia Polanchi, who is president and owner of her own PR firm called Cornerstone Communications, and she is a volunteer with Les Dames d'Escoffier and co-chair of the Legacy Awards, which gave Kubi a wonderful opportunity to learn about food and continue her studies. Marcia, this Legacy Award that we've heard about and so much about Kubi for Les Dames in New York is culminating in a wonderful event. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. Well, you know, it's always nice when you find talented people and generous people like Kubi who understands the concept of giving back. And we were having breakfast a while back, and I said, you know, Kubi, none of us know anything about Ethiopian cuisine, and wouldn't it be wonderful for you to, you know, do a demonstration and maybe a luncheon for our members? And she just jumped at the opportunity, and she said, well, you know, I really would like to bring my mother, and we could cook together. And she's creating a marvelous meal, which is going to be duplicating the Easter celebration, and I'm sure she'll tell us a little bit more about that, but she certainly has grasped the concept of giving back and education, which is what Les Dames d'Escoffier is all about.
Terrific. Kubi, well, now tell me about, I'm so curious, you call Easter celebration Fasica?
Yes, Fasica.
Fasica. Tell me a little bit about that, and tell me what you're going to be cooking for this luncheon.
Okay, well, Fasica, Easter, is the biggest Christian festival of the year for Ethiopians. This is when the whole family get together and enjoy the feast, and it's 56 days of Lent, meaning no meat, no mm-hmm. dairy. So this is a time when the entire family get together, come from different city areas, and enjoy the feast.
You have to break the fast.
Yes, right. After 56 days.
So what type of dishes are special for this occasion?
Well, dorowet is number one, which is chicken.
Oh, and explain, well, for the listeners, just to explain, because I know a little bit, but not okay. very much, and that's, you say dorowet. So wat being the stew.
Is a okay. thick stew.
Right.
So, I mean, I can describe Ethiopian cuisine if you
okay.
want me
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
So it consists of spicy meat dishes and vegetable, usually in the form of wet, which is a thick stew, served on top of injera. Injera is made out of teff, is a little small grain.
Teff is a very ancient grain.
Yes.
That we, I mean, I don't think Ethiopians consider it ancient, but the rest of the world considers it a very ancient grain and a marvelous grain. So this has always been made, the injera has always been made
always
with teff.
Always been made with teff, which is a sourdough flatbread. And traditionally, Ethiopian food is served in a family style, like a big platter. And each person breaks off a small piece of injera to scoop up the stew and eat. And usually we don't use utensils like fork or spoon. We use our hands mm-hmm. to enjoy the feast. And so March 21st, I'll be making dorowet, which is a chicken cooked in a special red pepper sauce. It includes boiled egg. And also there's going to be kutfo, which is an Ethiopian beef tartare. It's served either raw or medium rare. Sambusa, which is a fried or baked with a savory filling such as lentil, lamb, or ground beef. We'll be cooking lentil and beef. Also, yebeg alicha, which is a tender lamb stew seasoned with spiced curry onions, garlic, ginger, and jalapeno. Fosolia, which is seasoned green beans and carrots and potatoes. And the main ingredient of Ethiopian food is the berberi, which is a popular Ethiopian seasoning prepared from red chili pepper, garlic, and other spices. Berberi is sun-dried, then mixed with more spices and used in wets.
So the berberi spice mix is special to Ethiopian. It's not, in other words, like it, we can go to Morocco and find a lot of the Berber or Berbery spices. This is very.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what are some of the other spices that are important in Ethiopian cuisine?
Nitrkebe, which is another Ethiopian basic. Nitrkebe is a pure clarified butter seasoned with several condiments and is used in a traditional setting. We basically put kebe in everything. Like the kutfo uses a lot of kebe because that's the seasoning for the meat. Yebagalicha, sautéed beef or lentil or a lot of Ethiopian food we use kebe. Mm-hmm. And also we have mitmita, which is bird's eye red pepper spiced with cardamom and salt, usually served with kutfo. That gives it a little spicy flavor to
so
it.
Really big on the mixture of the spiciness. Yes. With the meats and into a like almost like a paste.
Yes.
Right, a stew, a pasty stew.
Yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. How big of a role do vegetables play in the cuisine and the diet?
We use a lot of vegetables. Like for the fasica, basically we eat everything that's vegetable, like collard greens, string beans, carrots, potatoes, legumes, beans, lentil. Basically everything is vegetable.
But the injera is very important, right? That's the,
yes,
the base.
That's the base of, you know, the whole ingredient. If you don't have injera, then there's no point of making what.
As someone once mentioned in some article, that it's the one cuisine where you eat the platter and the tablecloth and everything because the injera is so large.
Yes, it's so big.
Can you describe injera for us, please? Like the size, you know, just people who don't know. They don't know the size or the texture or...
Okay, so the foundation of Ethiopian food is injera, the staple and main filler. It's a thin pancake like sourdough leavened bread. It's originally made from the little-known grain of teff that comes from a grass that is exclusively grown in highlands of Ethiopia. Injera has been prepared since at least 100 BC.
Yes, right. It's a very and not changed much at all, right?
No, not at all.
I mean, I know that they have found evidence of the pans that injera was cooked in from like 400 AD. I mean, just that, you know.
It's made out of clay, ceramic clay, yeah.
So they're usually about what, 15 inches round or
long? Well, it depends on what kind of satay pan you use. Some people use a 10 inch or 12 inch, but back home is probably the big round.
Big one, right?
Yeah.
So it's just laid on the platter and everything is clumped in little piles and you eat what you want and dip the bread in?
Yeah. And basically after it's cooked, basically you make a batter, like three flours mixed into a batter, fermented for a few days and then cooked in the shape of a massive pancake. And it has a spongy texture and a slightly sour taste, similar of a sourdough bread.
Sourdough, right.
Yes. Uh-huh. The flatbread is then rolled into pieces and eaten in various stews and vegetables.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. and the meal sounds very exciting. About what are there other ceremonies that take place around the Easter dinner? Anything special that, or is it just a big feast?
I mean, there's the coffee service.
Ah, yes.
The coffee service, which is basically after a big meal, you know, everybody sits and make coffee. It's made with jebena, which is a black clay, made out of clay. And, I mean, we don't use milk. We usually just drink the espresso with sugar, that one. And, like, for our, we don't really have dessert because after all the stew, you know, it's a lot. It's a heavy meal, so... We basically eat popcorn or dabokolo, which is a little piece of bread. It's like resembles pretzels. Or kolo, which is roasted barley or different like nuts in it and things like that.
Now, the popcorn was a surprising element to the meal for me. I thought that was very
interesting. It's something light, so we don't want to eat too much. So the popcorn is basically...
Yeah, interesting. It all sounds very intriguing. I could not repronounce anything that you said, but it all sounded wonderful.
Yes, right?
And it is very interesting. And I know there are several Ethiopian restaurants in the New York metropolitan area.
Yes.
Where people can sample these foods. I don't know how many Ethiopian restaurants there are around the rest of the country, but certainly an Ethiopian Italian restaurant Seems right. Well, but Italy was in Italy colonized much of Ethiopia.
No, well, they tried.
Tried for just a few. During Mussolini, it had a few. It had a little stint there for a while, right?
Yeah.
So did they? So a lot of the food was brought to the capitals, to the big cities, and
I think so. Yeah, I mean, in Addis Ababa, there's like they sell pizza, a lot of pizza, spaghetti, meatballs, and yeah, you can say that.
So you, but you fell in love with Italian food post that time, right? So you want to combine the two?
Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot of Italian food here in New York, but I don't know. I like lasagna, I like meatballs, and they go together. So why not?
The Ethiopian stews and the Italian food go together, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I mean, like after you finish eating the stew, you can have a little piece of lasagna. Or like the meatballs, we don't mix it in a stew. We basically just fry the meatballs, so it goes together, I think.
Well, I can't wait to find out what emerges from this inventive brain of yours.
And Kubi, have you thought of the name of this restaurant?
No, not yet.
Stay tuned. Right?
If so, she's not going to give anything away. Right? Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us all your wonderful ideas and background of Ethiopian cuisine. And Marcia, thank you for instructing us about all of the wonderful work that Les Dames d'Escoffier does. And Kubi, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you so much.
And I hope to have you back on once your own restaurant opens, and we'll talk about
that food.
And thank you for listening. This again has been Linda Palacio with A Taste of the Past.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.